Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
I got the great privilege tonight to preach to you, and I'm so stirred up on the inside with this word and because it's so real to me. And it's such a reflection for what God's done in my life. And I'm gonna read first. Would you take your Bible? I'm gonna do my best to communicate what's so burning in my heart, and I sure hope it comes out in some way that Lord and maybe God will help you hear it better than I can say it. Second Kings. Your Bible and turn to 2 Kings. Why don't you go ahead and be seated? I want to start before we read. We'll stand for the honor of the reading of the word, but I want to tell you something that happened to me not too long ago. I was sharing with someone again today, remembering God's great kindness to me. Anybody, God's been kind to you? Me too. It wasn't long ago we all. Those of you that were in Alaska at the time, you remember a tremendous windstorm that we had, and we were in the midst of building our building here, and it was quite a very challenging episode, and I'd like to share with you what happened to me during that time. Maybe you've already heard once, but it leads right into this message that I want to preach from 2 Kings. We'll get to the text in just a minute, but my family had made arrangements for a week at Alyeska, and as we were preparing to go, this windstorm had set in, and just as a reminder to those of you that may have forgotten, we had 5 or 6 days of 100-mile-an-hour winds, rain, it was craziness, stores blowing away, signs blowing away. It was pretty much a hurricane just sitting on top of Wasilla. And you may not be aware of it, but much of the brunt of the wind was aimed right at our building here. And that's a different story, but I had this Alyeska trip lined up for my family, so I loaded them up. We drove through the crazy wind, got to Alyeska, full pristine conditions, no wind, full sun. And I checked them in, got them going, and I went back home to make sure the house was going to stay safe. And so I'm there by myself at my house, and I had to tie my doors closed because the wind was sucking the doors open on our house. And so I had to close them and tie them so that the doors couldn't open. And I was there by myself cleaning up the house, and it's a little house. It's a small little farmhouse, and I've got the house memorized, probably like you have yours memorized. You move, even though you knew something, you didn't look, but you knew something was there, the furniture or the table or whatever it might be. And I was cleaning and picking things up, and I went down the hall to put things away. No flashlight, no phone light. I don't need it. I've got the house memorized, and I'm going to put these things away. And I had forgotten I had opened the crawl space and fell down in the crawl space, 5 feet, bounced down the stairs. I'm at home by myself. No one knows I'm there. My family's all laughing and giggling and going down the slopes in the beautiful sunshine. And there I am in agony and pain and not knowing exactly what had happened to me. And I needed help. And I couldn't breathe. I couldn't cry. It hurt so bad to cry out, Jesus, how am I going to get out of this? As you know, and you can see me standing here, I obviously got out somehow. It's quite a story, because as I told you, I didn't take a flashlight with me or my phone as a light because I have the house memorized. And yet, when I finally realized I'm in the bottom of the crawl space and I've obviously got broken ribs, multiple ones, I've obviously cannot move my leg. Something has happened to my leg, and my shoulder won't move. And I pull my hand around, and my cell phone is in my hand. And I had just enough strength to tap it. Now my family are giggling and laughing and going down the slopes, not knowing anything has happened. And yet at the very moment that I was laying in the bottom of the crawl space, they decided they were going to take a break. So they went to the lodge and they all had their backpacks. And my wife hears a noise in her backpack. It was the phone ringing. And she saw it and answered the phone. I didn't take my phone down in the crawl space. There's a Latin phrase for what that is called. It's a powerful phrase. You don't hear it too often. It's not a part of our regular language, but it's the title of my message tonight. And I'm not sure I'm saying it right, but I want to help you hear a Latin phrase. Of course, I speak zero Latin, as probably most of you do too. Those of you that do speak Latin, please forgive me if I butcher this. But I want you to write this down if you're taking notes or you're typing it in. The phrase is Deus ex machina. Can we bring that up there? There it is right there. 20 years ago, this phrase was made known to me, and I realized that is exactly what God's done in my life and in every person's life. I don't mean putting the cell phone in my hand. I'm convinced an angel dropped the phone down to me out of mercy. I'm convinced that the angel put it in my hand because there's no way I could remember the doors are tied. Nobody can get in to help me. Yeah, I had to crawl out and undo the doors. There's more to the story. Deus ex machina sounds like a big educated word. You could tell people you're really smart if you can say that. And let me tell you what it means. And there's a definition. There's a little bit of confusing definitions, but check this out. It's a person or thing that appears or is introduced into a situation suddenly and unexpectedly and provides an artificial or contrived solution. It's kind of a literary term that you would use in story writing. In fact, you're enamored by it. You just didn't know it was called this. See, when we watch stories or we read a book, we're enamored with this, oh, I wonder how it's going to turn out. We see a hopeless situation. We see something that in our mind tells us there's no way this could turn to good, but we keep watching because we just have enough hope that something just might happen. See, it's a part of writing story. It's a part of telling stories. I love to tell stories, and I just told you one, and you were wondering, how did I get out of the crawl space? Because here I am. You were waiting for me to tell you something fantastic that God did. See, there's something in you that longs to hear that there's an intervention for a hopeless situation. Deus ex machina. I'm not sure I'm saying that right. But we're going to read a story in 2 Kings. But before we read it, it's a story of exactly that. I'm so reminded of what God has done for you and for me. Because see, the Bible makes it clear, we're in a hopeless situation. We're sinners and we can't save ourselves. There is no way you can be good enough, smart enough, strong enough to deal with sin that's on the inside of you. But God in His mercy sent His Son Jesus into this earth so that the hopeless situation could be turned to good. God loves us so much that in our hopelessness, He died for us. We're going to get to that in a minute. But that's just, it's gripped me today in looking at this word and just what He's done for me. Because in the same way that I was laying there with no hope in the bottom of my crawl space, and yet an angel drops me a cell phone, God's done the very same thing for us. Every person, because we were all hopelessly lost in sin with no way to help ourselves. And yet God dropped His Son down on this earth in the same way that he dropped my cell phone so that you and I could get out of a mess. What a great God we serve. I want to look at a similar story in 2 Kings. And I'm not going to preach long. We have water baptism tonight. And those of you that are getting baptized in water, we're so thrilled for you. I'm so excited. It's a night of celebrating and proclaiming not only what God's done in your life, but how you're going to live from now on. And we'll get to that in a few moments. But I want to, would you stand with me and turn to 2 Kings 5? We're going to read just a few verses. I got a powerful way to look at this under, with that lens that I just gave you. It says, now I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, the king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him, the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Aram was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day, the girl said to her mistress, I wish my master would go see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. Go and visit the prophet. The king of Aram told him, I will send a letter of introduction for you to take to the king of Israel. Father, come speak to us today. Not only what you've done in our life, give us a fresh revelation of your goodness to us and your mercy, but also, God, the very distinct points that you emphasized to me to bring out. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Deus ex machina. The intervention. I could go into a lot more nerdy explanations of what it means, but I think you've got the picture. Unexpected intervention that changes the hopeless situation, brings about a turn. Naaman needed something to happen. He was celebrated and honored, but he had leprosy, incurable. No way to get out of it. He's going to die. In fact, it's leprosy at that time. It's different today. Hansen's disease, we call it today. But at that time, you couldn't be around anyone else. So here he is, honored and celebrated, the great Naaman, the commander of the king's armies, and he's got leprosy. How devastating it must have been for him and his family, for the army, whose great commander now has got a time limit. His life is going to end sooner than normal. And yet it's in that moment that we see the very thing that I mentioned about what happened to me happens to Naaman. See, they had taken this young girl captive. And it's this girl that we're going to emphasize here. And there's a few things about this young girl. Notice it didn't say a young woman. It obviously had to be a little girl. They captured her. She's not at home. She's out of her familiar. She's out of her comfort zone. And yet she brings about one of the most astounding miracles in all of the Old Testament for Naaman. So let's look at what brought that about, because the very same thing you and I can be used to do for other people. You can be a deus ex machina for every person that you see. You can be a divinely appointed turn of events because you carry something the world desperately needs, hope. You're a person of prayer. The very fact that you pray brings hope to people. Let's look at what this girl, and there's much more we're going to look at. Highlights of this young girl, and it makes us ask some questions about ourselves. Makes me ask some questions about myself. First of all, this little girl was used by God in a powerful way from a position of captivity. She's a captive slave against her own will, and yet she's used by God. Clearly speaking to me and you today that our surroundings don't limit what God can do through us. If you'll let him, Now, some people, not this little girl, but some people might get taken in captivity, see the situation at hand, and make an assumption and put God in a box. Until this box changes, I can't be used by God. But this little girl, in the midst of captivity and an undesirable situation, releases God's power by encouraging Naaman's wife. It reminds me of other people in the Bible who from an undesirable circumstance were used tremendously by God. Heroes like Joseph, Esther. Heroes like Daniel. Some of the great mighty heroes of the Old Testament were not in their comfy home in their lazy boy and God downloading things to them. No, they're in tremendously adverse conditions. And in those conditions, that's where God decided to release his power through them. Conditions they didn't sign up for. Wasn't their choice. They didn't volunteer to go be a prisoner for doing right, Joseph. But through it, God did astounding miracles. Paul and Silas thrown in jail for declaring how great God is. And even in those adverse conditions, decide they're going to sing and shout praises, and God shakes the jail loose and they get out. It was in captivity. John on the island of Patmos, left of the Isle of Patmos to die, and that's where God gives him what we now call the book of Revelation. She could have stayed silent and said, well, it serves them right for capturing me, taking me away from my family that I'll never see again. She could have had an attitude. She could have seen them as her enemy and decided to stay silent. She didn't do that. She decided she was going to speak up about the greatness of God and what God could do. We all face circumstances that could totally inhibit us mentally, psychologically, emotionally, put us in a sense of captivity. But even in the midst of challenging circumstances, we can be used by God to release hope to people, to be a hope releaser just like she was. What about you? Are you willing to be used by God in that way? Are you willing to be used by God and not let circumstances stop you? Put a prison around your mind, a prison around your emotions and your voice and lock you down? She was willing to do that. If you don't know the story of Naaman, he goes to see the prophet, and the prophet tells him to go dip in the river seven times, and he's going to be healed, and takes a little while for him to finally get there. And he goes, and he dips in the river seven times, and he comes out, and the leprosy is totally gone. That's incredible. That's an incredible miracle. Don't sell it short. That's an awesome God miracle. She brought it about. The next thing I want to point out is God can do a lot with a little. God can do a lot with a little. If you're writing notes that go along with this, God can do a lot with a little. See, she didn't say very much. She didn't have degrees on Bible education. She didn't graduate from KSM. She didn't go to Bible university. She didn't memorize any books of the Bible and pass tests. She's a little girl, but she knew enough to say a little. And all she had to do was say just a little bit. And it released enough hope for Naaman to believe and go see the prophet. God can do a lot with a little. In fact, she didn't even speak to Naaman. She spoke to Naaman's wife. She didn't get to talk to the big celebrated guy herself. What she said gave so much hope to this family that the wife heard it and went and told her husband. God can do a lot with a little. She shared hope. It had a far-reaching effect. This little girl, how many lines are recorded? How many sentences did she say? There we go, 2. What could you say? What could you do or say to release hope to someone? Sometimes we've convinced ourselves we don't know enough, or we're not going to say it the right way. So we don't share our faith, or we don't share how good God is, or even just tell someone what God's done in our life. You know, your story has power. It doesn't have to be professional. Your raw, unrehearsed, unpolished story has power to tell people what God can do. What if God could say more to them than you actually said? What if in the midst of you trying to eke out a little bitty story about how great God is, what if God's speaking to them miles and miles of story that you didn't even say? Could God do something like that? God can do anything. God could do a lot with a little. What could you say to someone? What could you text someone and release hope to them? I would hate to stand before God one day and realize I didn't even text someone hope. I had the answers and I didn't say anything. Crickets. God can do a lot with a little. God could do a lot with your little. Just do something. If God can do a lot with a little, what could he do with your whole life? How many people could be affected by a far-reaching effect of you just sharing your faith? Who are the people that you're sharing with connected to? This little girl didn't get to speak to Naaman. She spoke to Naaman's wife, but Naaman's wife was connected to Naaman. And she repeated what the girl said. The people that you do have influence with, who are they connected to? That they're connected to. What happens if they share your incredible story with someone else that they have influence with? I would dare say there are tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people represented by all the influence in here in just this room. Hundreds of thousands of people. We're all connected to them. What could God do with a little? The next thing is God gets the glory. Take a look at verse 15. Look what happened to Naaman. Verse 15, take a look at this. Then Naaman and his entire party, this is after he's been healed, went back to find the man of God. They stood before him, and Naaman said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept this gift." God gets the glory. The girl's name never shows up. We don't know what her name is. Could you be okay with that? Could you be okay with living your whole life without your name being celebrated, but God gets the glory for everything that you do? She's okay with it. And God did amazing through her. Is it okay if you dedicate your whole life to serving God so that he'll be glorified and maybe not want somebody clapped for you? Whose glory are you after? Is it okay if your name is never said for what happened or that no one ever knows what you did, but God does? Is that okay? That's a tough question. That's not a very friendly question. But it's a confrontation question about whose glory are we really after? I'm after God's glory. I want God to be glorified. How about you? Her name's not mentioned here, but God's glory is. I want my life to look like that. She was used by God from a position of captivity. God can do a lot with a little, and God gets the glory. I believe God's speaking to us from this girl's life. First of all, God intervened in our situation. See, you and I are just like Naaman. Naaman had leprosy. It's in a condition on the outside that was incurable, and it repelled people away from him. It was contagious. He had to move himself away from people, and it was hopeless. He was going to die. And as I shared earlier, you and I were in the same condition, except it wasn't something on the outside. It was leprosy on the inside. It's sin. Sin makes us an abhorrence to God. Sin separates us from God. You can't help it. That's just the way it is. Our disobedience to what God has told us to do puts a big distance between him and I. Naaman was on the outside, we're on the inside, and we need intervention. We can't deal with it ourselves. And this little girl gave Naaman hope. I'm here today to do the same thing for you. You can be forgiven. God has intervened. I want to look at what Paul writes to Titus in chapter 3. Would you look at this scripture right here? Titus 3, and I think it's verse 3 through 7. Turn in your Bible there. And if you've got that, they can bring it up. It clearly expresses exactly what God's done for us. Take a look at this in the New Living Translation. Once we too were foolish and disobedient, we were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of envy and evil and envy, and we hated each other. When God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. We're Naaman. You and I are Naaman. The Bible clearly says all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But God is the original author of Deus ex machina, however you're supposed to say it. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So I'll do a little bit of nerd right here. Can you bring up that title again, Wanda? Thank you so much. There it is on the bottom. Okay, what this actually refers to is a theater term, okay? And I believe it was the Greeks, they would do plays. Do your kids ever make up plays and stories and they act them out and they want you to watch them? Okay, or maybe you've been in a production like Birthday of a King. And so what this refers to is in these theater dramas, they would build a crane and it would be over the stage area. And in the midst of the drama or the story, there would be a hopeless situation and they would drop. Okay, this is where the term comes from. They would attach a person to the crane. Okay, and the term refers a god from the crane. And they would drop someone into the play, a god, a goddess, Greek mythology. They would drop them into the play and they would change the whole situation. Is that not what God has done for us? When he dropped his son Jesus into our mess and our circumstance and our hopelessness. I know what I'm talking about because I was on the edge of ending my life. I was 17 years old sitting in a car with razors and I had been practicing. I have scars all over my arm right here. I'm telling you, I know what this means because God intervened in my life. I was sitting in my car weeping and saying the things the devil was putting in my mind. I was saying them out loud. I'm worthless. No one likes me. I just cause all kinds of problems. No one cares. It would be better if I wasn't here. classic lies from the devil, but I couldn't discern it. And as I was grabbing my keys to start my car, I said, no one cares anyway. And I was headed to get my razor blades for the last moment. I was never coming back. And at that moment, Jesus shows up in my car. Deus ex machina. And the same thing is true for you. You may not have a story like mine, but your story is the same in that you cannot save yourself. You need Jesus in your life. He came to this earth, lived a sinless life, died on the cross so you could be forgiven and healed and whole. He rose from the dead, conquering death, hell, and the grave so that you could have eternal life, so sin would have no hold on you, so you could be a new creation. The old go away, the new come, because what God dropped into this earth in the form of Jesus Christ, it's for you and it's for me. Those of you that are online, God has intervened before we were even born so that we could be rescued. Not only that, God intervened in our hopeless condition. This is what God is saying to us. Last thing I want to bring about on this is you are an intervention to other people in a hopeless situation. When you go to work, when you're pumping gas and you look over there at someone getting gas right across from you, when you're checking out at the store, even if you do the self-checkout so you don't have to talk to people and your thing messes up. Am I the only one that does that so I don't have to talk to people? Listen to someone's life story while they check out my cucumbers and things? We'll get back to that some other time. Even when I use the self-checkout, something won't go right and I have to talk to somebody. Hello, I broke this. Now I'm standing right here next to them. I am an intervention in their life because I carry the promises of God. I carry a story. I carry his power. I carry hope. I know what he can do because I've seen it. I know nothing's impossible for God. You're going to meet people today, tomorrow, this week that desperately need someone dropped into their life, and there you are. If you're willing to do a little, God can do a lot. Would you be willing to be this young girl? Would you be willing to set aside your circumstances and be someone dropped into someone else's life, a hope giver, a hope releaser? Tell what God can do. Hear their story, see their condition, and be willing to say, I can't heal that, but I know God can. Are you willing to be a person of prayer, a person like this lady who's willing to let something out? This young girl, what a model for us today. Deus ex machina. Now you can go to work tomorrow and tell everybody how smart you are. Ask them if they know Latin. Hey, did you know what this means? I hope you got something from God. I hope there's a charge inside you of some kind to be like this little girl and to be an intervention in someone else's life like God has been in yours. Would you stand with me tonight? And we're going to take a moment to pray. Even while I was speaking, I got the inclination that... Thank you, Minister Toby. Even while I was speaking, I got the inclination that God dropped even now, even while I was speaking, the names of people. You saw them in your mind, of people that you could give hope to. I don't know what those circumstances might be, or if it's work, neighborhood, family. You are an intervention in their life. I want you to lift your hands with me tonight. I'm going to pray for you. This is a powerful, short amount of scripture that challenges us to be used by God in a powerful way. Father, I thank you for this little girl. Lord, I'm quite certain she didn't want to leave home and be in this circumstance, but even in the midst of it, she was willing to do a little, and you did a lot with it. Lord, I pray even right now, as people have heard this brief word, I pray the charge of the Holy Ghost to be used by you, regardless of circumstance, to say something, to tell their story, to recount what you did. God, use us in a powerful way, in our family. Use us on the job, even tomorrow. Even tonight, as we're driving home, Lord, would you drop people into our heart that we could text or message, share something with? God, we want to be used by you. Even as we're reflecting on this word here, you may have heard me declaring what God's done in my life, saved me, intervened time and again, and this is only a few stories. Maybe you've heard me sharing how he saved me. He's turned my whole life around. Maybe you need that to happen for you. Maybe you need to be forgiven of your sin and make Jesus the Lord of your life. Maybe you need to start all over, start afresh with the Lord. Maybe you've walked away from him and just kind of things didn't go like you wanted, so you just decided it's not for you. Today's your day to come back to Jesus. I'm going to take a moment to pray for you, to pray with you. We don't have a time of gathering and not give up opportunity for people to be made right with God. God has intervened for you if you'll receive what he did for you. If you'll receive it, if you'll believe and receive. The Bible makes it clear you got to believe in your heart. It's where we believe. But you got to say with your mouth what you're believing. I'm going to invite you to pray with me tonight. Would you bow your head with me and just for a moment, have a private moment between you and God? I'm asking you that very question. Are you right with God? Have you received what he so lavishly provided for you? The free gift of salvation. If you need to receive Jesus for the first time or you need to come back to him, very boldly, would you lift your hand where I can see you? You want to pray a prayer. You want to receive what Jesus did for you. Yes, I see that hand. And I see that hand. Yes, I see your hand. We're going to take time to pray. Anyone else you want to signify, pray with me. Yes, I see your hand. Good job. God loves you. I'm going to invite us all to pray here. We're going to pray a simple prayer, proclaiming exactly what I just said from the book of Romans. Would you pray with me tonight? Say it right out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe in my heart that you sent Jesus to intervene for me. He came to this earth. He died on the cross for my sin. And he rose from the dead so I could be forgiven and have eternal life. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I turn away from sin. And I turn to you from this moment on. Thank you for loving me and hearing my prayer. Would you lift your hands? Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord. I felt it in my heart. There's people, for the first time, they genuinely proclaimed you as their Lord. And you wrote their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. In this room and online, there's people, oh God, right now, would you come and visit them? Something beyond just a religious prayer. Lord, they believed and they received. Come visit them in a profound way. Holy Spirit, come fill them with your power. And I thank you, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap tonight?
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.